Welcome back to Talking Baseball, San Francisco Giants pregame show with Marty Lurie, Bill Lasky, and Kerry Crowley. I'm Walter Ricardo-Zeta, and for this weekend touring around baseball, I take you to the city that never sleeps, a.k.a. the Big Apple, one of my favorite places to visit, New York City. And by the time that I conclude this conversation, I may have a different nickname for New York, but to help me talk some baseball in the Bronx and in Queens, I'm joined by Disha Thosar, formerly of the New York Daily News, where she covered the Mets, but now currently covering MLB for Fox Sports. Disha, welcome to the show, and congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, of course. We're here to talk some baseball, talk some New York City baseball, to be specific. But Disha, so we're going to start the conversation in Queens and with the New York Mets. You were on the beat the last time that we spoke, and when you were out west, a lot has changed since then, and mainly Jacob deGrom has come back. Max Scherzer is out there pitching every other day. The pitching rotation is just looking very good right now, and they actually did that without any of the help of the two that I mentioned, Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. But if you look at the two main guys, Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer, I would say that the Mets have as good as a 1-2 punch as anyone in the game of baseball. They can match up with anyone right now.
Yeah, exactly. You said it. And they weren't there in the West Coast. Scherzer was battling that oblique injury. He was out for 7 weeks. DeGrom just came back in August, and he's picking up exactly where he left off. He still has one of the best, if not the best, ERA in baseball since 2018. And these two are a force to be reckoned with, not only on the field. Of course, we've seen what they do on the mound, but they're really best friends even behind the scenes. And guys like that only make each other better. And that should be a really scary thought for opposing teams to know not only are they dominating and back to their old ways, but they're making each other better and they're challenging each other. And Scherzer often challenges DeGrom to throw more curveballs, and DeGrom will play along with Scherzer. It seems like the sky is the limit for these two. And of course, they have the eye on the postseason and what those two can do in the playoffs. It's anyone's guess, but of course, the sky is the limit for sure.
We're talking with Disha Thosar of Fox Sports, covering the New York Mets, covering baseball for Fox Sports. And we're talking DeGrom and the New York Mets. Just a few more on DeGrom right now, because you look at his stat line when he came back from injury, Disha, and he just has 55 Ks, 3 walks. I mean, this guy, and it's not against pushovers. I mean, yeah, the Washington Nationals are sprinkled in there and the Colorado Rockies, but you look, two performances, phenomenal performances against the Braves. You got the Phillies sprinkled in there, and then most recently, he just struck out 9 against the Los Angeles Dodgers, which was potentially an NLCS preview here. So my question to you, you're looking at everything in this year and years past, does DeGrom have that resume to be considered a Hall of Famer at this point in his career?
At this point, I would say he's close. I think he needs to be a little more consistent, not just, of course, with his numbers. I think the interesting part with DeGrom is that even when he's injured, battling through some of last year, he was battling through several injuries, whether it was little bumps and bruises with his back, his arm, his shoulder, his elbow. Even as he's pitching through those, he's still considered the best pitcher in baseball. No one can ever actually tell that he's injured. But this is still a big problem for him, that he hasn't really been able to stay on the field ever since winning those two back-to-back Cy Young awards. So he needs to definitely stay healthy and prove that he can keep exactly this performance for a full season, because that's exactly who he is. He's dominant when he's throwing 102-mile-per-hour fastballs. His slider sits at 93, which is just crazy. And he doesn't really even need to push it. His first Cy Young season, he was, I think, his heater topped out at 98, 99. So he can still dial it back and, of course, be dominant. But for me, I think he needs to, even World Series aspirations aside, I think a lot of people want to see DeGrom with a championship to be considered a Hall of Famer. But even right now, we've seen from these past few Mets seasons, he's their most valuable player. It's unfortunate, of course, that most valuable player only pitches once every fifth day. If he was out there every day, I think he'd be more of that MVP type. But for me, I think he just needs to stay healthy for more seasons to be considered in that Hall of Fame conversation.
We're talking with Disha Thosar of Fox Sports. And you mentioned dominance, that word dominance. And I just want to switch the conversation just a little bit, not necessarily going away from the arms, but going into the bullpen, Disha, because dominance is what you have out there. And it's just a party with all the trumpets coming in, with Diaz coming in from the bullpen. Tell me just everything about that situation, that scenario, how it all played out.
Yeah, I mean, the scene is incredible. I think it really takes a team like the Mets, who are kind of known to be a little odd, a little goofy. And even though, yeah, they have new ownership, their new owner, Steve Cohen, is still a Mets fan. So he brings that same kind of energy where you don't see many baseball teams, especially stepping out of the box and doing things like they did this weekend, bringing in Timmy Trumpet to play this live performance. It felt very NBA-like, maybe just any other sport except baseball. We don't see it. And really, the baseball only turns up the energy like that for the bigger events, like All-Star. We don't even see it in the World Series, really. So the Mets did it. They have these aspirations of, hey, listen, we're putting out this release a few days early. If Diaz comes out against the Dodgers, you know, in the ninth inning for a save, then Timmy Trumpet's going to do a live performance of Lurko, which is Edwin Diaz's entrance music. And in the days leading up to it, everyone, you know, the fan base, reporters, even Buck Showalter, Mets manager, is like, is this going to work out? Like, how is this even going to go to plan exactly how we want it to? And the first game, it didn't. The Dodgers won. There was no need for Diaz in that first game. And guess what? Timmy Trumpet decided to stay an extra day before flying to Singapore. So they had another shot. And in that second game on Wednesday, it worked out exactly the way the Mets wanted it. And Diaz came out jogging to Narco while Timmy Trumpet was having the absolute time of his life down that third baseline, playing his trumpet, getting fans riled up. It was a complete party. And, of course, Timmy Trumpet is now the Mets' number one hype man. I'm not sure how they can even win another game without Timmy Trumpet playing that trumpet next to Diaz.
Yeah, no, he definitely has to be at every single game for the rest of the year, definitely with that trumpet. Disha, do you have a trumpet of your own? I mean, this is just, it's like you said, it's a party. Everyone is it's just contagious. And I feel like that's it's a requirement for a closer to have that type of feel. I mean, you look back at Mariano Rivera with Enter Sandman, Trevor Hoffman, Hell's Bells, even out here in San Francisco with Brian Wilson, Jump Around. I mean, it's always a party. But yeah, back to my original question. Do you have yourself a trumpet for the ninth inning?
Not yet. I should plan on definitely getting one, if not just for writing inspiration alone. But it reminded me, I think Timmy Trumpet gets a lot of attention for everything that went down, as he should. But really, I think what goes unnoticed is Edwin Diaz just being so dominant, even in a situation like that. I mean, of course, he's been used to these type of save situations for years now, so you can't really imagine that a live performance would shake him. But this is no joke, right? It's the Dodgers, sold out crowd. They're all playing the trumpets. Even fans have trumpets in their hands. And he still did it. And it took him only 9 pitches that night. Even Timmy Trumpet himself was like, after, you know, I played and the game was over. Like, he's an Australian, so he has no idea how baseball works. And that was sort of his first glimpse at it. But definitely the duo of those two might even convince me to get a trumpet.
Yeah, amazing atmosphere out there in Queens with the Mets. And we'll talk about the Yankees here shortly. But I just need to get into some business of baseball here, Disha. I need to ask you the hard-hitting questions. Jeff Passan, he came out here of ESPN, and he expects Diaz to be the first $100 million closer. All right. And would you agree with that statement? And if so, are the trumpets returning to Queens with that type of price tag?
Yeah, this is exactly the kind of situation that's sort of made for players like Edwin Diaz, Jacob deGrom, who's becoming a free agent this offseason. He already said he'll opt out of his super team-friendly contract. And both of these guys, I think the ceiling is so high for them in terms of becoming, like Jeff Passan reported, the potential first $100 million closer, is that they have the owner who will do this for them. These numbers are not coming out of nowhere. Steve Cohen has already indicated he loves Diaz. He loves the way he operates. Diaz came over Steve Cohen's house recently. They had dinner together. Guess what they're talking about, right? Like, these are the exact conversations that they're having. Of course, Diaz is curious about his future and how Steve Cohen will respond. And it would be hard at this point to see Diaz in any other uniform other than the Mets and orange and blue after everything that went down. I think it was the Mets also showing Diaz, hey, this is how important you are to us. We're going to get this Australian musician to fly over for you. And this is only really the first season where everything is coming together for him. He was dominant last year too, but not to the extent where Diaz has been this year. And what a journey it's been for him, right? The first year with the Mets in Queens, he was really bad. That was the first, he had 5-6 ERA. That's the first really down year he had in his career. And look at the way he turned around. So I think, and even off the field, he's just such a nice guy and really deserving. So I think when you put all those things together, I think these are the perfect ingredients for Diaz to get exactly what he wants. And if that's the number, I don't think anyone would be shocked.
Again, the word of the day, I think, Disha, is dominance, and that's what Diaz has, winning the National League Reliever of the Month 3 times in a row. So that is amazing. But, you know, with the stellar play, with the dominance, it comes with a steep tag. So let's switch over to the Yankees, where steep price tags is what they're looking at right now. Let's switch over to the Bronx and talk a little bit about the amazing story of Aaron Judge and his MVP season, closing in on the American League single season home run record, chasing Roger Maris. He couldn't have picked a better time to do this going into a walk year.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of the discussion around Judge a little bit has been centered around will he break the all-time record, Bonds' all-time record, and kind of something new that isn't centered around steroids. And I think that's certainly a fair argument, and he's not. At this point, of course, Judge is not going to break that record, but he's on pace to break Roger Maris's. And even beyond steroids or not, this is a huge deal what he's doing, and I think it was Michael Kay who recently said that it's hard to imagine having the season they are without Judge, and of course they wouldn't be. He's in every single way their most valuable player, and for the American League too. So definitely he picked the right time to do it in his walker, but I think it says a lot about how he responds to pressure. He responds to all of it. The biggest stage in the baseball world is New York, especially with the Yankees, and he really has risen to the occasion here.
Now, in San Francisco, we're watching closely the situation with Aaron Judge, because we are dreaming of a scenario where he is wearing orange and black next year and returns back to the Bronx, because the Giants open up the year in New York next year with those schedules coming out. So we'll have to see what comes of that situation. But what's your read on the situation right now, Disha, in New York? Is there absolutely no way that the Yankees let him walk this year?
I think the Yankees right now, at least from what I've heard of people internally, is that they're kind of playing a game of chicken. The Yankees don't like to be really upfronted by anyone else. And Judge always is really compared to Derek Jeter since the moment that he was called up to the majors. And with Derek Jeter, this was really never a big topic of conversation. It was always that he would be in pinstripes. He would almost take a pay cut to be in pinstripe. And Judge is not the same. He has demanded that he wants the money that he's owed. And this is sort of the new modern era of players anyway. We saw that in the lockout this past offseason. Major League players are kind of sick of owners crying poor, of the league crying poor, and inflation. All of it goes into this, of that they just want to be paid what they're owed. And it'll be up to the Yankees, certainly the ball's in the Yankees' court, to meet Aaron Judge at his demand, because guess what? Any other team that can afford him will want him, and they'll take him. And he, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Judge returning to obviously his home state of California, and I don't think that's a joke, right? It's a little bit easier to imagine Judge, especially as we get down the line here, in another uniform, as the Yankees keep kind of playing this game of chicken. But they even know they will be certainly losing out. There's been many examples recently of Mookie Betts going from Red Sox to Dodgers. That did not work out for them. I think if the Yankees are going to try some cost-cutting measures, this is not the person to do it on. I think they should really obviously lay it all out there for Judge.
Disha, that was a lot of fun to talk some New York baseball with you this afternoon. And, you know, I just need to ask you this one question out the door. We're talking about the Yankees, we're talking about the Mets. They're in probably the best divisions in baseball. Just a number. How many teams from the AL and the NL East make the postseason this year?
Ooh, that's a good one. from the NL, how many teams post? It's going to be certainly a lot. I mean, I think I've always thought the NL is a tougher kind of competition from the AL. If we're going toward a World Subway Series, I think that's the answer here. I think this is the best year to do it, and certainly I think it wouldn't just be exciting for New York fans. I think this would be really, really good entertainment wise and competition wise for the whole week. So I'm rooting for that anyway.
All right, Disha, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for coming on, and I'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Again, that was Disha Thosar of Fox Sports covering baseball, covering the New York Mets. A little bit of Yankees sprinkled in there also. So that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. Coming up next, more Talking Baseball with Marty Lurie, Bill Lasky, and Carey Crowley. I'm Walter Icavalceta signing off. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.